This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
One of the things that we have heard quite a bit with the various protests, some of them aren't protests, some of them are riots that have been going on, is that slavery is the original sin of America. And in fact, it was at this time last year that Nike made a shoe with the Betsy Ross flag on it, and Colin Kaepernick protested that, and Nike then announced that they would cancel that shoe because slavery was in the Founding Fathers, and the Founding Fathers, some of them owned slaves. One of the things that we're going to look at today, we're going to look at history, and we're going to see what actually happened in history. And we're also going to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about slavery. Was slavery the fault of the Founding Fathers and the fault of this country? From wallbuilders.com, we're going to read about the Founding Fathers and slavery. By the way, this is history that really you don't get in public schools anymore. You don't get this history. You're not going to hear this really even in a lot of Christian schools, and even in a lot of churches, you're not going to hear this truth, but this is truth. Even though the issue of slavery is often raised as a discrediting charge against the Founding Fathers, the historical fact is that slavery was neither the product of nor was it an evil introduced by the Founding Fathers. Slavery had been introduced to America nearly two centuries before the Founders. As President of Congress, Henry Lawrence explained, "I abhor slavery. I was born in a country where slavery had been established by British kings and parliaments, as well as by the laws of the country ages before my existence. In former days, there was no combating the prejudices of men supported by interest. The day, I hope, is approaching when, from the principles of gratitude as well as justice, every man will strive to be foremost in showing his readiness to comply with the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Matthew 7:12. Prior to the time of the Founding Fathers, there had been no serious efforts to dismantle the institution of slavery. John Jay, who was, by the way, our first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, identified the point at which the change in attitude towards slavery began. Prior to the Great Revolution, the great majority of people had been so long accustomed to the practice and convenience of having slaves that very few among them even doubted the propriety and rectitude of it. The Revolution was the turning point in the national attitude, and it was the Founding Fathers who contributed greatly to that change. In fact, many of the Founders vigorously complained against the fact that Great Britain had forcibly imposed upon the colonies the evil of slavery. For example, Thomas Jefferson heavily criticized that British policy. This was, by the way, from the original draft of the Declaration of Independence. He, King George III, has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither, determined to keep open a market where men should be bought and sold. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I know the previous program said that we were going to answer computer questions, and normally on Saturdays we do answer computer questions, but today is different. Today is special. Today is the day where we remember the signing of the Declaration of Independence, where our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor to establish this freedom that we sometimes even take for granted today, but is even now at a risk of losing. We here, though, are definitely grateful for our founding fathers. And in light of that, we have compiled a list of patriotic sermons from our church over the years. And we're going to be sharing that, interspersed with a few spots that let you know what a Faster PC does and how we can help you resolve computer problems, and we can help resolve computer problems. And of course, if you like any of these sermons, some of these may not be up on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel or our website, but and our church website is covenanttabernacle.com, and our church Facebook page is Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. But if you hear something that you want to hear the entire sermon, because this will only be short excerpts of these sermons. If you want to hear the entire sermon, just give us a call at our shop, 772-878-5978, 772-878-5978, and we'll work on getting that up so that you can listen to it. Remember, when you have computer problems, a Faster PC solves computer problems.
On July 2nd, 1776, Congress voted to approve a complete separation from Great Britain. 2 days afterward, July 4th, the early draft of the Declaration of Independence was signed, albeit by only two individuals at that time, John Hancock, President of Congress, and Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress. 4 days later, on July 8th, members of Congress took that document and read it aloud from the steps of Independence Hall, proclaiming it to the city of Philadelphia. After which the Liberty Bell was rung. The inscription around the top of that bell, Leviticus 25:10, was most appropriate for the occasion. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. The Declaration of Independence of the 13 Colonies in Congress, July 4, 1776, read, "The unanimous declaration of the 13 states of the United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They paid a price so that we could live free. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honors. Some lost their life. Most lost their fortunes. Many of them had their homes burned, had their wives killed, had their cattle slaughtered, had everything that they had worked for up until that time destroyed. And yet, they realized the importance of making that sacrifice. And they realized a truth from the Bible that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Our nation in its founding did experience times of weeping, did experience times of struggle. And in those times of weeping, and in those times of struggle, rather than relying upon themselves, and rather than saying, well, we're strong and we're mighty, they relied upon God. We can see that here in the Declaration, that they are calling out to God, and they are saying, we have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We believe that God is capable of establishing this nation to be a nation that is one nation under God.
A Faster PC has been here and as Florida begins to open for business,
the Faster PC
will remain open to repair computers 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and 9 to 2 Saturdays. We offer curbside drop-off and pickup and on-site service where a Faster PC can come to you. And we can fix many computer problems remotely without requiring any in-person contact. A Faster PC is also working to help our customers set up remote access so that employees can continue to work and be productive from home. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1 next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie and on the web at
www.thefasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, call 878-5978. Again, that's 772-878-5978. Even in times like these, when you have computer problems,
the Faster PC
solves computer problems.
For many people, it's a three-day weekend. It's when you have a little bit extra time off work. It's when you go to the beach or go out on the boat, if you can find a place to get your boat in the water. Busy weekend. Where you have barbecues and family get-togethers, and really there's nothing wrong with all of that. But this weekend really is about remembering those who have fought, those who have laid down their lives, and those who have sacrificed to make America free and to keep America free. And also to honor those who are currently serving our armed forces. And we have people stationed in various parts of the country, including Iraq and Afghanistan, that are at war and laying down their lives and placing their lives on the line to protect you and to protect me and to keep us safe. And you know, from the very beginning, Americans have been willing to offer themselves up and to volunteer even to protect this nation. And this was true even from the beginning of this nation, from the founding, when this nation really didn't have any money, didn't really have any power, didn't really have the weapons that we needed. Sometimes the soldiers would actually march through the snow and didn't even have shoes to cover their feet. And their feet, because of the snow and walking on the snow, would become bloody. Sometimes they didn't have the ammunition they needed. They didn't have the cannons that they needed. But through their trust in God and through their obedience and through their dedication, they were able to see the Revolutionary War won. During the Battle of Lexington and Concord, Chelsea's minister, Philip Payson, captured two British supply wagons single-handedly. You see, Christians and pastors and the church were among the leaders in calling Americans to volunteer to go to war and to fight for your freedom, the freedom that we have today. John Craighead raised a company of militia from his parish and himself led them off to join Washington in New Jersey, where it was recorded that he fought and preached alternately. This, by the way, that I'm sharing comes from the book The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and Dave Emanuel. So numerous, in fact, were the fighting pastors that the Tories referred to them as the Black Regiment and blamed them for much of the resurging zeal of the colonial troops. One of the most colorful examples is what happened in a Lutheran state church in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia on a Sunday morning in 1775. The 30-year-old pastor, Peter Muhlenberg, delivered a stirring sermon on the text, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven," from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. He reached the end of his sermon and said a solemn prayer and then continued to speak. He said, "In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There is a time to preach and a time to fight." He paused and then he threw off his pulpit robe to reveal to the startled congregation the uniform of a colonel in the Continental Army. "And now is the time to fight," he thundered, and then called out, "Roll the drums for recruits." The drums rolled, and that same afternoon he marched off at the head of a column of 300 men. His regiment was to earn fame as the 8th Virginia, and Muhlenberg was to distinguish himself in a number of battles, rising to the rank of Brigadier General, in charge of Washington's 1st Light Infantry Brigade. Early in June of 1780, in support of a British advance, Hessian General Wilhelm von Knyphausen crossed from Staten Island to New Jersey with 5,000 men. At the little valley of Springfield, just west of Union, he encountered unexpected resistance and was forced to withdraw. In the course of his action, the wife of the Reverend James Caldwell, a mother of nine, was shot in her home while her husband was away. Whether or not it was intentional, Caldwell had a price on his head, and later that same day his house was burned to the ground. The incident inflamed the townspeople. When Knyphausen's force returned 2 weeks later, even though reinforced by British General Clinton himself, he was again stopped, this time in furious action. At the height of the shooting, the Patriots, taking cover behind a fence that was adjacent to Caldwell's church, they ran out of the paper wadding needing to hold powder and ball in place in their muskets. Caldwell gathered up all the copies of Watts' Psalms and Hymns, that was their hymn book of the day, and rushed them out to the crouching riflemen. Tearing pages out of the hymnal, he passed them out shouting, "Put Watts in them, boys. Give them Watts." The pastors knew that in order for America to win the battle, in order for America to win the war, that America needed first to call upon God. For our strength lies not in our own power, not in our military, not in our might, not in our weaponry, but our strength lies in whether God is with us or not. William Gordon, pastor of the Third Church of Roxbury, preached to the Continental Congress, "Our degeneracies we must conclude from the light of nature and revelation have contributed to bring us under the present calamities. We are now in an unusual way called upon to wash ourselves, to make ourselves clean, and to put away the evil of our doings from before our eyes, to cease to do evil, to learn to do good, and to seek every kind of judgment." The men of God back then realized that if God not be for us, that we cannot stand. But God needed to be for us, and for him to be for us, we needed to serve him, to repent of our sins, to ask him to forgive us, not only individually, but covenantally. You know, it is important, and we actually sin, not only individually, but we also, when the nation sins, we need to ask God to forgive us, even as Daniel did. Daniel asked God to forgive the nation of Israel. He cried out on behalf of the nation of Israel and asked God's forgiveness. And we need to do this today. We need to pray for the nation, our nation, America. For we are a nation that is steeped in much sin. We are a nation that has rejected God's commandments. We have rejected God. We have removed God's commandments from our schools. We've removed prayer from our schools. We've removed Bible reading from our schools. And we wonder why our schools are the way they are. We wonder why things have gotten as bad as they have. When you take away the standard of righteousness, when you take away the standard of obedience to God, when you take away the standard of right and wrong, people are left to do whatever is right in their own sight. And when people are left to do what is right in their own sight, you have some people like Jeffrey Dahmer that want to kill people and eat them. You have people that want to do bad things to people. People that are evil, because, you know, every single one of us, we are conceived in sin. King David said this in Psalm 51, that he was conceived in sin. That we are sinners from conception. We go astray right from the time and right from the point that we begin our lives as a one-cell human being. We need to cry out to God for forgiveness. We need to cry out to God for mercy. We need to allow God to do a work in us so that we can be redeemed and so that we can live lives that are worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. For without God's work in our lives, every single one of us could very well be a Jeffrey Dahmer or an Adolf Hitler or a Joseph Stalin. The people that are the worst examples of sin in history, the people that are the worst examples of sin that we know of throughout history, we could be like that. But for the grace of God, we could be the one that pulls the trigger on the gun to shoot someone. We could be the one that violates God's commandments. And when you remove the standard of right and wrong from our schools, how in the world can you wonder why things are going wrong? We in this nation have believed that we can do whatever we want with whomever we want, and it's all fun. But we have seen that there are consequences to sexual sin. And we have seen venereal diseases proliferating in our culture. We have seen and we have shed the blood of over 45 million preborn children through abortion. We as a nation need to repent. And the church needs to repent. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Our city is exalted by the blessing that is upon the upright. We as God's people need to stand up and we need to take back this city for God. We need to take Fort Pierce back for God. We need to take Port St. Lucie back for God. St. Lucie County, we need to take this back for God. The state of Florida and our nation, we need to take this back for God. For Proverbs also says in chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You see, when a nation obeys God, when a nation serves Him, when a nation puts Him first in their lives, when a nation honors His commandments, that nation will be blessed. Righteousness exalts a nation. America has not risen to the prominence that we have because of no reason. It is for the righteousness of our forefathers that were willing to take the sacrifices that they needed to take, to some of them lay down their lives, to lay down their homes, their fortunes, their sacred honor, to pledge that so that we can have the freedoms that we have. But they did so that we could establish a nation where religious freedom and liberty abounded and where people could be free to worship and serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. You see, if God is not for us, we can't stand. If God is not for us, it doesn't matter how many bullets we have. It doesn't matter how many soldiers we have. It doesn't matter the sophistication of our weaponry, how much technology we have, how good our intelligence is. If God is not for us, we cannot stand. We have to be on God's side. During the Civil War, someone asked President Lincoln whether God was on our side, and he said, I'm not so concerned about whether God is on our side, but whether we are on God's side. We have to be on God's side, and for God to bless America, America has to bless God. America has to serve Him and has to be obedient to Him.
A faster PC can solve any computer problems, from software installs, viruses, spyware, malware, to those annoying pop-ups, to QuickBooks, Medisoft, and Softin support. From wireless networks to hardwired networks, from small networks to large Active Directory networks and multi-site VPN networks. We can also connect all of your network-capable devices in your home or office, and we provide on-site and remote service. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1, next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie, and on the web at
www.afasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, our number is 772-878-5978. Again, that's 878-5978. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. In the midst of these uncertain times, a Faster PC shop remains open to repair computers 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and 9 to 2 Saturday. If you can't bring your computer in, a Faster PC can come to you. And we can fix many computer problems remotely without requiring any in-person contact. A Faster PC is also working to help our customers set up remote access so that employees can continue to work and be productive from home. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1 next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie, and on the web at
www.thefasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, call 878-5978. Again, that's 772-878-5978. Even in times like these, when you have computer problems,
the Faster PC
solves computer problems.
We remember those that have fought for our country, and especially those that have died in battle, fighting so that we could have the right to be here today and to worship God. They have fought and laid down their lives so that we could have the privileges and freedoms that we enjoy. And presently today, we have armed forces in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places in this world that are fighting to keep you free. And we're going to look this morning at why they fought. You know, we hear a lot today about the separation of church and state, and how that the church should not be involved in the government. And we're going to see from some quotes from the founding fathers today that the founding fathers never intended for the church to not influence government. Rather, they intended for the government not to dictate to the church what they can teach and what they can believe. I got this information off of wallbuilders.com. John Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence and second president of the United States, said, "It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation for a free constitution is pure virtue." He also said, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our constitution was made only for a moral and religious people." It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. He also said, the moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the law of God, and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny will commence. If thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not steal were not commandments of heaven, they must be made inviolable precepts in every society before it can be civilized or made free. John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, says the law given from Sinai was a civil and municipal as well as moral and religious code. It contained many statutes of universal application, laws essential to the existence of men and society, and most of which have been enacted by every nation which ever professed any code of law. He also said there are three points of doctrine, the belief of which form the foundation of all morality. The first is the existence of God. The second is the immortality of the human soul. And the third is the future state of rewards and punishments. Suppose it possible a man to disbelieve either of these three articles of faith, and that man will have no conscience. He will have no other law than that of the tiger or the shark. The laws of man may bind him in chains or may put him to death, but they never can make him wise, virtuous, or happy. Samuel Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Fisher Adams, the framer of the First Amendment that is commonly twisted to say that there is a separation of church and state. Those words, separation of church and state, aren't in the Constitution. They aren't in the First Amendment if you've read it. He said, our liberty depends on our education, our laws, and habits. It is founded on morals and religion, whose authority reign in the heart and on the influence all these produce on public opinion before that opinion governs rulers. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who decry the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, and which denounce against the wicked eternal misery, which ensured to the good eternal happiness, are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for our duration of free government. Benjamin Franklin, signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, said, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt, they are vicious. They have more need of masters. He also said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writing, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in the political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our partial local interest. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberation be held in the assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one of more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate that service. That quote is from the record of the Federal Convention where the Constitution was framed. Thomas Jefferson, signer of the Declaration of Independence and third president of the United States, said the doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of mankind. Richard Henry Lee, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, it is certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people. James McHenry, signer of the Constitution, said, "Public utility pleads more forcibly to the general distribution of the Holy Scriptures. The doctrines they preach, the obligations they impose, the punishments they threaten, the rewards they promise, the stamp and image of divinity they bear, which produce a conviction of their truths, can alone secure to society order and peace, and to our courts of justice and constitutions of government purity, stability, and usefulness. In vain, without the Bible, we teach penal laws and draw entrenchments upon our institutions. Bibles are strong entrenchments. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy quiet conscience." Jedediah Morse, a patriot and father of American geography, said, "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. Wherever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican form of government and all blessings which flow from them must fall with them." William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, "It is impossible that any people of government should ever prosper where men do not render unto God that which is God's, as well as to Caesar that which is Caesar's." The Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled, "No free government exists in the world unless where Christianity is acknowledged and is the religion of the country." Benjamin Rush, founder of the Declaration of Independence, said, "The only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this can be no virtue, and without virtue there can be no liberty, and liberty is the object and life of all republican governments." He also said, "We profess to be republicans, and yet we neglect the only means of establishing and perpetuating our republican form of government, that is, the universal education of our youth in the principles of Christianity by the means of the Bible. For this divine book, above all others, favors that equality among mankind, that respect for just laws, and that sober and frugal virtues which constitute the soul of republicanism." And we can see from these brief quotes from the founding fathers of our nation how the founders of our nation never intended for our nation to be a nation devoid of religion, a nation devoid of the Bible, a nation devoid of God or his principles. Our founding fathers knew very well that it was essential to have a Christian nation, a nation that believed in the Word of God, a nation that taught the Word of God and founded its laws upon the Word of God.
From the founding of our company, Faster PC has provided our customers with quality service and computer products. Saving money without compromising on quality is always a good thing. Perhaps that's why our customers have relied on a Faster PC to solve their computer problems for over 23 years and counting. We help customers save money by repairing their computers rather than replacing them. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1, next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie, and on the web at
www.afasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, our number is 772-878-5978. Again, that's 878-5978. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC has been here, and as Florida begins to open for business,
The Faster PC
will remain open to repair computers 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and 9 to 2 Saturdays. We offer curbside drop-off and pickup and on-site service where a Faster PC can come to you. And we can fix many computer problems remotely without requiring any in-person contact. A Faster PC is also working to help our customers set up remote access so that employees can continue to work and be productive from home. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1 next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie and on the web at
www.afasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, call 878-5978. Again, that's 772-878-5978. Even in times like these, when you have computer problems,
the Faster PC
solves computer problems.
There are many people today that would tell us that the founding fathers of this nation were not Christians and did not believe in God. And many will tell you that the founding fathers never intended for the Ten Commandments to be displayed publicly, for prayer and faith and biblical principles to have any place in our public square, especially when it comes to politics and the court system. However, when we look at the founding fathers of this nation, we will see that they were, in fact, Christians. We will see that many of them did believe, in fact, the majority of them did believe in the Word of God and did believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. In fact, in the Constitutional Convention, the number one book that was quoted was the Bible. And the number one book of the Bible that was quoted was the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book of the law. The founding fathers of this nation were students of the Word of God, and they sought to bring biblical principles into government. And that's why the ACLU and other anti-Christian groups had to come in and take prayer out of schools because it was already in schools. And they had to take the Bible out of schools because it was already in schools. And they had to take the Ten Commandments out of schools because it was already in schools. And they have sought to take and remove every vestige of Christianity from our culture and from our society. Well, we're going to look this morning at some of the founding fathers and look at their quotes and read from their lives, many of them from their wills, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution and signer of the Declaration of Independence, in his will wrote, "I recommend my soul to that almighty being who gave it, and my body I commit to the dust, relying upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon for all my sins." Charles Carroll, signer of the Declaration of Independence, from an autographed letter written by Charles Carroll to Charles W. Wharton on September 27, 1825. "On the mercy of my Redeemer I rely for salvation, and on his merits, not the works I have done in obedience to his precepts." And we see here that this was someone that realized and recognized that he wasn't getting to heaven because of his own good works, because the Bible tells us that our righteousness, the best that we have to offer to God, is as filthy rags before the Lord and King. We need to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ through his grace and his mercy applied to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. William Cushing, the first associate justice appointed by George Washington to the Supreme Court, in his will wrote, "Sensible of my mortality, but being of sound mind, after recommending my soul to Almighty God through the merits of my Redeemer and my body to the earth." John Dickinson, signer of the Constitution, in his will wrote, "Rendering thanks to my Creator from my existence and station among his works, for my birth in a country enlightened by the gospel and enjoying freedom, and for all his other kindness, to him I resign myself, humbly confiding in his goodness and in his mercy through Jesus Christ to the events of eternity." We see here that this is someone that understood and was thankful that the gospel was a big part of this nation and played a big part in this nation and in our freedom, in fact. John Hancock, signer of the Declaration of Independence, in fact, the one whose signature is the most famous because he wrote so largely, in his will wrote, "I, John Hancock, being advanced in years and being of perfect mind and memory, thanks be to God, Therefore, calling to mind the mortality of my body, and knowing it is appointed for all men once to die, do make and ordain this my last will and testament. Principally, and first of all, I give and recommend my soul into the hands of God that gave it, and my body I recommend to the earth, nothing doubting, but at the general resurrection I shall receive the same again by the mercy and power of God. And here, far from someone that doesn't believe in God, we see yet another founding father that does believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. Patrick Henry, governor of Virginia and patriot, in his will wrote, "This is all the inheritance I can give my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed." John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, in his will wrote, "Unto him who is the author and giver of all good things, I render sincere and humble thanks for his manifold and unmerited blessing, and especially for our redemption and salvation by his beloved Son. He has been pleased to bless me with excellent parents, with a virtuous wife, and with worthy children. His protection has accompanied me through many eventful years, faithfully employed in the service of my country. His providence has not only conducted me to this tranquil situation, but also given me abundant reason to be contented and thankful. Blessed be his holy name." Daniel St. Thomas Jennifer, signer of the Constitution, in his will wrote, "In the name of God, amen. I, Daniel, of St. Thomas Jennifer, of disposing mind and memory, commend my soul to my blessed Redeemer." Henry Knox, Revolutionary War general and Secretary of War, in his will wrote, "First, I think it proper to express my unshaken opinion of the immortality of my soul and mind, and to dedicate and devote the same to the supreme head of the universe, to that great and tremendous Jehovah, who created the universe, frame of nature, worlds and systems, and number infinite. To this awful, sublime being do I resign my spirit with unlimited confidence in his mercy and protection." I might point out that the word awful back then didn't mean terrible as we think of today, but meant something to be awe-inspiring, something to be awed. And so he said that God was awful, someone that we should awe, someone that we should rever, someone that we should worship. John Langdon, signer of the Constitution, in his will, wrote, "In the name of God, amen. I, John Langdon, considering the uncertainty of life, and that it is appointed unto men once to die, do make, ordain, and publish this my last will and testament in manner following. That is to say, first, I commend my soul to the infinite mercies of God in Christ Jesus, the beloved Son of our Father, who died and rose again, that he might be the Lord of the dead and of the living, professing to believe and hope in the joyful scripture doctrine of the resurrection to eternal life." John Morgan, another signer of the Declaration of Independence, in his will wrote, "With an awful reverence to the Almighty God, Creator of all mankind, I, John Morton, being sick and weak in my body, but of sound mind and memory, thanks be given to Almighty God for the same, for all his mercies and favors, and considering the certainty of death and the uncertainty of times thereof, do, for the setting of such temporal estate as it hath pleased God to bless me with in this life." Robert Treat Paine, signer of the Declaration of Independence, wrote in Papers of Robert Treat Paine, "I desire to bless and praise the name of God Most High for appointing me my birth in the land of gospel light, where the glorious tiding of the Savior and of pardon and salvation through him have been continuously sounded in mine ears." Here again we see a thanksgiving that he was born in a country where the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed and where his ears continually heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his will, Robert Treat Paine wrote, "When I consider that this instrument contemplates my departure from this life and all earthly enjoyments and my entrance into another state of existence, I am constrained to express my adoration of the Supreme Being, the author of my existence, in full belief of his providential goodness and his forgiving mercy revealed to the world through Jesus Christ, through whom I hope for never-ending happiness in a future state, acknowledging with grateful remembrance the happiness I have enjoyed in my passage through this life." Charles Cotsworth Pinckney, signer of the Declaration of Independence, in his will wrote, "To the eternal, immutable, the only God, be all honor, glory, now and forever. Amen." Rufus Putnam, Revolutionary War General, first Surveyor General of the United States, in his will wrote, "First, I give my soul to a holy, sovereign God who gave it in humble hope of a blessing, immortality through the atonement and righteousness of Jesus Christ and the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit. My body I commit to the earth to be buried in a decent Christian manner. I fully believe that this body shall, by the mighty power of God, be raised to life at the last day. For this corruptible must put off incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, in his autobiography wrote, "My only hope of salvation is in the infinite transcendent love of God manifest to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Robert Sherman, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, wrote, "I believe that there is only one living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are a revelation from God, that God did send his own Son to become man, die in the room instead of sinners, and thus to lay a foundation for the offer of pardon and salvation to all mankind, so that they all may be saved who are willing to accept the gospel offer." Richard Stockton, signer of the Declaration of Independence, in his will wrote, "I think it proper here not only to subscribe to the entire belief of the great and leading doctrines of the Christian religion, such as the being of God, the universal defection and depravity of human nature, the divinity of the person, and the completeness of the redemption purchased by this blessed Savior, the necessity of the operations of the divine spirit, of divine faith, accompanying with the habitual virtuous life, and the universality of the divine providence, but also that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that the way of life held up in the Christian system is calculated for the most complete happiness that can be enjoyed in this mortal state, that all occasions of vice and immorality is injurious, either immediately or consequentially. Even in this life, that is, Almighty God hath not been pleased in the Holy Scriptures to prescribe any precise mode in which he is to be publicly worshipped. All contention about it generally arises from the want of knowledge or want of virtue. Jonathan Trumbull, Sr., governor of Connecticut and patriot, in his will wrote, "Principally and first of all, I bequeath my soul to God the Creator and giver thereof, and body to the earth, nothing doubting that I shall receive the same again at the general resurrection through the power of Almighty God, believing and hoping for eternal life through the merits of my dear, exalted Redeemer, Jesus Christ." John Witherspoon, signer of the Declaration of Independence, wrote, "I entreat you in the most earnest manner to believe in Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation in any other. If you are not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, if you are not clothed with the spotless robe of his righteousness, you must forever perish." These are just a small portion of the quotes that are available today, and I did pull these from wallbuilders.com, which promotes the Christian history of this nation and shows something that children aren't taught in schools. Children today in public schools are not taught that the founding fathers were Christians, that they believed that Jesus Christ was their Savior, that they thanked God. They thanked God that he had given them and allowed them to live in a nation that was one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That God had allowed them to live in this nation where they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This nation that was founded by even our Pilgrim and Puritan forefathers, who came even before the founding fathers of this nation, who desired to set up this city as a city that would be a light, a city set upon a hill that would shine the light of Jesus Christ to the world.
A faster PC can solve any computer problems, from software installs, viruses, spyware, malware, to those annoying pop-ups, to QuickBooks, Medisoft, and Softin support. From wireless networks to hardwired networks, from small networks to large Active Directory networks and multi-site VPN networks, we can also connect all of your network-capable devices in your home or office, and we provide on-site and remote service. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1, next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie, and on the web at
www.afasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, our number is 772-878-5978. Again, that's 878-5978. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. In the midst of these uncertain times, a Faster PC shop remains open to repair computers 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and 9 to 2 Saturday. If you can't bring your computer in, a Faster PC can come to you. And we can fix many computer problems remotely without requiring any in-person contact. A Faster PC is also working to help our customers set up remote access so that employees can continue to work and be productive from home. Computer problems?
The Faster PC
solves computer problems. A Faster PC is conveniently located at 7190 South US 1, next to the new Dollar General in Port St. Lucie, and on the web at
www.thefasterpc.com.
That's www.afasterpc.com. For more information, call 878-5978. Again, that's 772-